G'day everyone, welcome to the show, and today we've got back Stan Romanek. Last time Stan was on the show, there was, you know, a lot of controversy and stuff came from it. We got Stan here today to tell for himself what's going on, why what happened happened. I've been staying with the Romaneks for a couple of days and hanging out. They've still got my support. I like, a lot of people were upset at the time, but like anybody doing something like this, you got to ask why, and this is what I always said to people, you got to ask why what's going on is going on. So I'm here to give Stan support and a fair go. Stan, thanks for having me in your home and for connecting again, mate.
Hopefully you're having a good time while you're here too.
I am, and there's been a lot of stuff going down, which we will go into, because, you know, the experiences are continuing, along with the evidence for a lot of stuff going on. Now, on the show, you faked a couple of things that happened, and we'll go into it in terms of why did this happen. Now, one of your friends died preceding sort of all this before it all got down the track later on, which what happened on the show, you know, went down. But you had a documentary coming out. You've been, would you say, you've been getting hacked and stuff like that, would we say, since 2005?
Oh, geez, no. We've been getting threats. We've been getting hacked. We've had so much happen since probably 2002 is when it all started. Our phones, even back then, our phones were tapped in 2002 when I was, actually, even before that, before I married my wife, I was living with my sister and our phones were hacked or tapped way back then. I gotta tell you, it's been a nightmare. When you're in this situation, when you're an experiencer, there seems to be people that don't want this out for whatever reason. And as confused by that as I am, there's a lot we have to deal with. We have to deal with the everyday threats. We have to, or, you know, once a week threats. We have to deal with the mean people on the internet. It got to the point where just so terrified, I couldn't function. And it was nothing for us to get threats. We'd get threats that, you know, they'd kill my family. You know, they'd kill my kids. They'd kill everybody, all of my friends. We'd get that all the time. We blew it off. There have been situations where the hotels that I was doing a conference at would get a bomb threat if I walked in and, you know,
you come to do a talk.
Yeah, and did a talk there. And they had to hire bodyguards for us. We can't say it's government. We can't say it's not. We really don't know. There's a lot of people out there that seem to not like us for what we talk about. Unfortunately, the UFO crowd is a fickle crowd. They want the smoking gun, yet when they get the smoking gun, they say it's fake anyhow, or they don't believe it. I am going on air right now to apologize to you personally and to apologize to the people who support us and have supported us. And I understand the people that, you know, that have walked away because of this. They pretty much had a right to, but they need to understand the full story. The short time that you've been here, you understand, you know what's going on.
Also, now Stan has sat down with myself and Sorita, and we've seen everything. I've seen stuff that may never see the light of day in terms of evidence and witness testimony. There is a lot to it. It's not just one or two things with Stan's case. We looked at, you know, just the documented harassment alone, and it reaches over, you know, 250 different incidences. In saying that, you know, I know Stan is the real deal. I've said to you, I've seen you on the craft. I've had experiences where a lot of the stuff correlates with yours, and I've witnessed stuff in the house. I've seen the tap will sit me having a conversation as soon as we got here, and the tap turned on. And this tap you have to push up. We've seen the shadow beings walking around, flashes of light. It's just, you know, this wouldn't be going on at the extent unless, you know, this is what happened when we get together.
The printer
printed out another message. Those who have been following Lisa, there's been stuff where just messages have come out on the printer. Sol and myself are experiences. It's similar to being at home, but it's just different when, you know, you get experiences together. So I can, you know, testify that, you know, what's going on is going on in terms of experiences. There's stuff that you and me have talked about with some of the beings that we wouldn't know unless we've experienced it as well. So I know that you're an experiencer. In saying that, I have publicly stated that unless people know what we go through on a daily basis and the emotional stress and things like that, you can't judge somebody by their actions. And I want to say it takes a lot of balls to come forward like you are now saying you've done what you've done. And, you know, apologising to the people that support you and myself. And you've always had my support. I was upset, like I said, the people, but I stand by Lisa and stand 100%, like I've said. In saying that, how would we sort of unveil to the public what we can? Because you've got court things going on at the moment, which unfortunately we can't go into. I will say that hanging out with Stan and Lisa, I've seen something that explains everything about Stan's situation and his case. And I'll tell you what, it is far out there with support, and it's got supporting evidence. It's not just Stan's hearsay. I've seen the document and heard the documented evidence and seen documented evidence, and it's very deep. That's all I can say. And, you know, if anything happens to you guys, I'll be speaking to one friend of mine that you know, just so there is something out there on the terms of if something happens to anyone, this information will get out. But in saying that, and with the court case, we can't go into that. Is there anything you can sort of say going back to, you know, let's go back to the unveiling of why what happened happened.
Before we do that, I want to bring out that the people that are accusing me of this heinous crime, which is absolutely, and I'm going to stand by what I say, are false, absolutely false. That being said, leading up to this, this is bigger than people understand. This is, this goes, I don't know how far up. I can't say because I don't know for sure. We have not been in the public eye because I'm not being allowed to be in the public eye. The first thing they did was when this happened, they put it all over the media to discredit me right away. And this is the kind of MO that they go by. This is what they do to people they want to shut up. They can't take them down. They use this to take them down. Not just me. There are people that have come forward, you know, in the media about corruption, and this is what they do to shut them up. This is what they do. And for the people out there that think that I might have really done this, they have a bigger problem than I do, because they should know better.
Definitely.
And so that being said, look, I'm only one person. I'm only, you know, a person. I have feelings. I have fears. What happened to me and what I did because I was fearful for my life, and more so than that, I was fearful for my family and my friends. There are some friends, some very close friends that have walked away because of what I did on your show, not because of any of the other stuff, but because of what I did on your show. And I'm glad they did, because it probably saved them. And, you know, it started with a normal threat. It started with
electrical equipment playing up. Sorry, Doc, can you turn that off?
Yeah.
Sorry, Sam.
You know, it started with a normal threat, you know, like the threats we get all the time.
It started with a search warrant being served on our home.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In April, actually, is when the fear and the intimidation really got bad.
And you've been shot at, there's been two incidences where you've been shot at too as well. Like, this is life-threatening. It's not just, you know, hearsay. This is documented stuff. There's a lot of incidences that have happened to you guys. There's police reports. There's evidence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these threats, we don't take lightly. There's lots of evidence. There's lots of police reports dating back, you know, way back in 2002. You know, my experiences started, what, 2000? The threats and stuff really kind of got going in 2002 and then followed us here to where we are. You know, the police department has multiple, you know, multiple reports that you can, I mean, this is public knowledge. I've been shot at twice. I've been beaten up twice, the most recent one. I am still recovering from a brain injury and stuff, short-term memory problems from 2014. That really happened.
So, with we'll put it on the line now. You were told basically to discredit yourself. And can you go into how you knew these guys were serious and why you did what you did? You did it to protect yourself, your friends, and your family.
Mostly you protect my family and my friends.
Do you want to sort of just give like a setup for people to understand this?
It started with, you know, the normal threats. You know, and again, we've had them so much we didn't pay any attention. But, you know, after a search warrant was served and they searched our house and I was accused of this stuff, in April of 2013, we were so terrified by what had happened. We didn't understand how or why, that we couldn't stay at home anymore. And we were at a friend's house and we got a phone call at our friend's house. Everybody, we know, we have witnesses that, you know, now that they got me, they can kill me in jail. And then from there, it was January 12, 2014. And I'm sorry, you know, my head injury, I can't
remember. Yeah, that's all right.
I have to write stuff down. We had a really good friend of ours passed away named Richard. And just a couple days after that, we got a phone call. I got a phone call saying, we told you to shut up. And if you want to keep your friends and family alive, you need to discredit yourself. And this is what you need to do. And they specifically gave me instructions on what to do. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know how to react to this. I was so terrified. And they said if I were to say anything to anybody, they'd kill everybody. They'd kill all my friends. And they gave specifics. They told me where our friend Victoria worked and what her social security number was. Our friend Heidi, they told me what Lisa was doing at the time. These people, whoever they were very specific. They said if I wanted it to all go away, I'd have to do one simple thing, and that is to discredit myself. And if people don't believe me, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I feel sorry for them, because what we're going through now is absolutely so traumatic. I can barely just even function. On top of having a head injury, I have to deal with all this other stuff too, and the constant threats and the constant harassment. And I apologize to all the supporters out there. Yes, I tried to discredit myself on your show. Did I fake certain stupid things? If anybody watches it, they will see there's something wrong there. You even mentioned it. Everybody close to me mentioned it. It's like, I was nervous. I didn't know what else to do. In the scheme of things, it wasn't real very, you know, it wasn't real big. It wasn't earth-shattering. I wasn't on the, you know, CNN and did something there. But, you know, you've got a pretty big following. And it's, you know, the debunkers, you know, had a field day with it. And rightly so.
And at the same time, even doing what these people had asked of you, it hasn't stopped. It's like they just tried to make everything a train wreck even more so than what it is. It's like, we want you to do this, and even though you've jumped through hoops and done it, nothing, you know, if anything, things have sort of got worse for
they haven't changed anything. They promised us that it would all stop, and they haven't changed anything.
It would all stop.
You know, they promised me that they would leave my family alone. They promised me that they would reverse these charges, these heinous false charges against me. But, you know, it hasn't stopped. It continues. And we're stuck here wondering. There's a lot of people, we know who our real friends are, I gotta tell you that for sure. Because there are people, there are supporters out there that know that this is all just ridiculous. And they're coming to our side. There are very close people who we depended on and we cared about, and they ran away. But to me, that's kind of okay, because their life was, as far as I'm concerned, I thought their life was in danger. Could this have been all made up by whoever did this? Absolutely. But how did they know my friend died of a mysterious illness? It wasn't a brain aneurysm. It was something I don't understand, like a brain aneurysm. Who knows what technology is out there? They could do what they want. And that's, you know, I guess I'm a coward when it comes to why I did what I did. Maybe not, you know, because I really, like we talked about earlier, I was trying to protect the people I cared about.
Well, like I said, it takes a lot to come forward and admit when you've, you know, so-called screwed up, but at the same time, people don't understand the extent of the circumstances. I really wish we could go into some of the other stuff, and we just can't, you know, but this is huge, what we've talked about the last couple of days in terms of, you know, what you know now explains a lot, and there's backing with that, and this is very, you know, it does go high up more than, you know, I ever thought, you know, anything like this could. It's ridiculously
maybe one there. Day the people will know what's really going on and we'll be able to talk about it, but, you know.
What's some of the other things you've got here that you can go into in terms of what you can let the people know? Because that happened on the show, what, February 6th or something?
Yeah, February 6th of 2014. The threats happened, you know, Richard died in January. The threats came a couple days after that. And I really, truly apologize that I didn't have any... I was panicking. I didn't know what to do. I'm sorry.
Nice.
Man, people don't understand what it's like to be so afraid that your friends and family are going to be... And if people don't understand, you know, I understand that too. But I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, that's not who I am. And I've been feeling so guilty about this because I've been trying to be upfront about everything that's happened. Me and my wife has worked hard. We have worked incredibly hard to prove ourselves to all the skeptics and all the debunkers out there. And you have to know, there's not a lot of debunkers out there. It may seem like there are, but there's just maybe four groups or so that keep, what they do is they make a bunch of websites and they make a bunch of Facebooks and they make it look like there's a bunch of people out there when really, if you do any research, there's only just a few groups.
And when it comes down to it, this is all coming up to the release of the documentary. Now, the documentary was aired, like shown at a film festival the previous October. Then it came out a month after this, so it's like they wanted you to discredit yourself before the documentary came out. It had been in the works for some time, but when you put all, even the later evidence, like the later evidence, it's up there with the good stuff you've already produced. Like, there is scientific evidence, there is footage, there is photos, there's witness testimony, there's every friggin' thing you could possibly want in a case, which is the smoking gun. But would you say this is why they wanted to discredit you? So when this documentary came out, and when more, like, a lot of that stuff in the documentary you had told people about, but you hadn't shown, like one of the alien videos and that sort of thing. Is this why this is happening? They want to shut you up and they want to make you look nuts. So with whatever you bring out, it's just...
And this is what they do.
Mm.
They discredit you using, if they can't do anything else, this is their last draw. Because this, what I'm being accused of, looking at child porn, is, you know, unforgivable. In my eyes, it's unforgivable. In everybody else's eyes, it's unforgivable. But even more unforgivable is when you're falsely accusing somebody to shut them up over something like this. Because all me and my wife ever want to do is we want to help people wake up. That's it. Nothing more. We have nothing to hide. You know, you were here. You've been here for, you know, a couple days now. You know the truth. You know what's really going on. I wished we could let everybody
know. Oh, yeah. I do too. But, you know, I'll stand by you. I've seen what I've seen. Sol's seen it as well. You know, we've talked to people that have been around here as well. We've talked to Lisa and...
And you've seen this stuff firsthand. You know, when the premiere happened with the movie, we got a call saying... that movie will never see the light of day. What people don't understand is we were working out contracts with Lionsgate to do a film about my story. Me and my wife were talking to Fox and NBC separately to host TV shows.
To help experiencers who were struggling.
We were going to host TV shows to help other experiencers, you know, who have gone through this, you know, to deal with this. I mean, it goes deeper than that even. These people, whoever they are, you know, they wanted to hurry up and find a way to shut us down before we got to the mass public. That's the only thing I can think of.
And there's lots like, you know, there's money being taken out of the bank accounts. You had the video up as well of where, and I've seen others of, you know, the mouse moving around on the computer doing stuff that, and you're not even touching it. You know, there's stuff going on like this and other stuff we can't talk about, but there's a hell of a lot. It's not just one or two or a hand or 10 things. We've sat down for like a day and a half now and gone over a lot of things. So it's not just one or two things. What else do you want to say to the people in terms of anything that you can add to the... Is there anything else more you can add to what we're talking about? Or I know you're in a tight situation and what you can and what you can't say, but is there anything else you want to say to the people?
For those that are supporting us, prayers. We need lots of prayers and understand that there really is a war going on. For whatever reason, the people that are in control are so lost, they... Even though the light is good for them, they're afraid of the light. They don't want this information to get out for whatever reason. I don't know why. And to those of you who are debunkers and are out to get me, all I can say is I forgive you because, you know, for whatever reason, you're either scared or maybe you're being paid or I don't know. I don't know. And for people out there that support us, I ask that you forgive me because I was terrified beyond belief and I really meant to do it just to help my friends and family. And unless you're in my shoes, there's no way for you to understand what fear is until you go through what we've gone through. These people were kind enough to come visit us, and they did it just because they wanted to hang out. And they've seen for themselves.
Yep, and I just want to say, too, to everyone that in the field and, you know, those other experiences, yeah, this might have thrown a red herring in the box, but everything that we're experiencing is about evolving in consciousness and about love, non-judgment and compassion. And at the moment, I just ask that people throw that towards Stan and Lisa. And nobody's perfect, but when you're dealing with shit this deep and serious, this is what happens. There is lives at stake. I've had stuff happen, not to this extent, but I've had a lot of the black ops type stuff and other things go down that this is, you know, this is serious stuff. This isn't just somebody talking crap. This is actually what's going down, and it's a serious subject. And it is probably the most serious situation to face humanity for I don't know how long to come yet. So I just want to thank you, buddy, and thank you for all that you do and having the courage to come forward, mate.
And I feel, you know, I'm glad I did this because it's really not who I am, and it's been bothering me for so long. And I appreciate you coming here and listening to what I have to say. And I hope you guys can find it in your hearts to forgive me this one thing. And I hope, and I thank you, and I'm sorry.
It's all right, mate. It's all right. I understand. Thank you. I'll leave it there. What can you say to the people, and what would you like to say in the defense and what you guys are going through today in terms of the ridicule, the things you've been put through, and why you have done what you, like Stan has done what he's done? And you didn't even know about this at the time, did you? Because
no.
Stan was that much trying to keep you and everyone safe that you didn't have a clue what was going on.
I really didn't know. For starters, I want to make a statement that, you know, a lot of people, okay, I can't say a lot of people, there have been a few who online have accused me of being the ringleader of this huge elaborate hoax. And I have to say that for the past 15 years, that it's been quite a journey. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of highs and lows, and through it all we've had an amazing support system. And that support system has really been tested. You know, in last February, correct? Mm-hmm. Was it last February?
Yeah, last February, yeah. Well, no, the February before that. So, February 2014.
Yeah, 2014. That's right. So, it wasn't till after that happened, after Stan was arrested, that I was made aware that he had lied to our friends, lied to me, lied, you know, about what happened on your show. And as I told the few that did walk away, very close personal friends who walked away, the day I really was made aware of it, I was very angry, and Stan and I were having quite a screaming match. And I said, nothing short of someone threatening to kill you, the children, our grandson, should you have ever done something like this to discredit yourself. I mean, and the look of terror in his face, I've never seen before. Not after an abduction, not after any of his experiences. It was just absolute raw terror. And he grabbed my arm and literally dragged me out of the house. And he said, don't say that. And it's like, of course, me, I'm kind of a sass. And it's like, I jerked away. And it's like, I just don't understand how you would throw, you know, at that point, you know, 13 years of trying to be absolutely honest down the toilet in 30 minutes of deception. It just didn't make sense to me. And he says, you don't understand. And he says, I can't tell you. It's like, well, you better tell me, because if not, I'm done. I'm out. I can't live this life. I can't live in a lie. And he dragged me down the sidewalk, trying to get us as far away from our house as possible. Because, number one, we are aware that our house is monitored. You know, they know what we talk about inside our house, on our phones. And we're very public about the knowledge that we're being watched 24/7. And he, which I'll get back to a very big comment about that, but he got down to the end of the street and he said, they threatened to kill you all. And after what happened to Richard, and he was bawling, our friend did die just the month before you did your program with Stan. And that's what prompted him to actually follow through with discrediting himself. And for the friends who still don't want to believe that, that's fine. But it is the truth. So I understood that, and I've tried to explain that to them, that they have never seen, they didn't see the terror in his face. And he really was afraid. But going back to what I was going to say, we know we're monitored. What idiot thinks that any one of us in this house would do anything illegal, immoral? I mean, honestly, knowing that our computers are hacked, that we're being watched 24/7, why would any person in this house look at child pornography? Look at anything, do drugs, do, I mean, we don't do anything illegal. We just, well, okay, Stan speeds. He likes to drive fast. But other than that, he follows the law. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, why do.
Why would we knowingly do something that we know is being watched? And we adamantly believe and will maintain Stan's innocence, but that this stuff was planted in order to shut him up. And we were talking earlier that the search warrant was served on our house April 2013, right? Time, 2 years later, here we are still dealing with this. But that you did your show with Stan in February. was it? I don't even know what.
Almost a year later in 2014.
Yeah, 2014. So it wasn't until 10 months after that search warrant that they issued a warrant for Stan's arrest. When you think about that timeline, they told him he had to discredit himself and do it publicly. And a week later, the show had aired, and the warrant was issued for his arrest 1 week after your show. After they promised that if he discredited himself, it would all go away. You know, it's like when you start looking at the timeline of these events, you know, we were talking also, why is this dragging out so long? It's like a week after Stan was arrested, he was attacked. The police have said that the scene was not consistent with the fight. They got one thing right. There was no fight. Stan told them that.
So basically Stan was jumped and just...
Yes. All he remembers was being hit. Because I went out there, because it's like, okay, it doesn't take that long to walk half a block to get the mail and come back. And he was staggering into the driveway, up the sidewalk. And I kind of was leery. It's like, what the heck? Just the way the person moved, it wasn't right. So I came back in to get my shoes because my feet were cold. And I stepped back out and Stan was coming into the driveway. And he was just bleeding everywhere. And he said, someone threw something at me. That's all he could remember in that moment. He wouldn't cooperate. I mean, he had this huge knot in the front of his head. Yes, blood everywhere. But what people don't know is what we haven't shared. There were substantial injuries. Neurologists have said that he does have a traumatic brain injury. He is, as you have seen, he is not the Stan he was 2 years ago or even a year ago. He's depressed. He's gained weight. He's really struggling with a lot. And, you know, whether guilt was part of this or not, I'm glad that he was given this opportunity to come be with you and apologize in person and be forgiven. And like you said, you knew something, there was something else to it. It just couldn't be that Stan was going to be an idiot and do something so lame and throw everything away.
You know, it takes a lot of courage for Stan's come forward to talk about, what you've come forward to talk about. I just want to say, but, you know, it just, to me, if this was Australia, like if somebody was done for something that was, you know, legit, as quick as they can, they throw the book at them and then they're dealt with, you know, accordingly too. And it just seems very weird to me that hasn't been the case. So, you know, people can make of that what they may, but it's, as you said, it's dragged out so long that it's a bit crazy.
Yeah, I think our roommate, Michael, and I talked about this, and we really believe that there is intervention happening. You know, we've had, I think somebody alluded that we had some documents. We didn't talk about that. About the Starseed letter that came through and the personal message to Stan, that because Stan's really felt that the ET presence that he has been trying to fulfill his mission with or for has abandoned him in this. And he got a very personal message saying that though you feel like we've left you, we've never left you. So they are still here with him. And we really believe that that source or those sources, whether they're white lighters, extraterrestrial, what, are helping to delay the process in order for this detective who is being accused of perjury in a murder trial to have to answer and be held accountable as well. And had Stan, you know, had Stan not been beaten up, had he not had a traumatic brain injury, had he not had a massive hematoma on his liver, had, you know, there was a lot of internal injuries that happened that people aren't aware of because Stan wasn't able to get on line, still can't. And
there's been some healing as well.
Yes.
But we, yeah.
You know, we share what we can, but we're not here and we're not online to garner sympathy from anyone else. You know, our mission has been and will continue to be helping other people with their experiences. So, you know, in some ways it's like we're overwhelmed. We don't want to put all that negative energy on other people. We want them to stay upbeat. And that's what I try to continue to do online is just keep them on an upswing and, you know, to keep loving their hearts and forgiveness and all things. That's the only way we can grow and move forward. So the process being slow is very draining on us. But at the same time, we don't, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen moving forward with this corrupt cop, this corrupt county, this, I mean, it's bad. If you tune into my Facebook, you'll be seeing the updates of how bad it is. But, we just really appreciate those who have continued to support and send their love and prayers, and that's all we've asked for, was just friendship, kindness, forgiveness, and prayers. And that's all we ask for moving forward. There's a lot more than people are aware of. And Stan does, at this point, as of this date, Stan's trial is in October of this year. I can't say that it's going to happen in October. I just, that's when it's slated for right now. So until that time, we just, you know, just those who have supported, I'm sure you're angry at Stan and disappointed, but no more so than I was, or how disappointed he is in himself for allowing the fear to bring him to that point. So
I've had both Stan and Lisa on, and what I'd like to just have a conversation with you about is just what some of your experiences have been in the home, whether of a paranormal nature or just other things you have noticed with, you know, what's going on at the moment in terms of, you know, what they've had going on with, you know, we can't go into the court situation, but what have you experienced in terms of, you know, that helps with Stan and Lisa's case in terms of some of the weird stuff that's not that, you know, all this is, I guess all of this is normal, but in terms of,
it's paranoid.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to skip over things here in a way that's not going to get anyone in trouble, but, like, there's weird stuff going on here, whether it's got to do with the internet, or whether it's got to do with people that shouldn't be around this place.
Right, break-ins, you know,
yeah,
hackings, I get that.
Yeah, yes. What could you go into for us in terms of what you've experienced yourself, what you've seen here?
Well,
who
my first
you,
thought is...
What do you do first? I
mean, sure. Yeah, okay. We'll let people know
and
who
if
you
I may,
are.
I have been a housemate of Stan and Lisa. They were nice enough to let me move in with them a little over a year ago. I decided I wanted to move to Colorado. Didn't really know where I wanted to stay, and they opened their home to me, and for that I'm grateful. And the next thing I want to say is that if I thought for one moment that Stan were capable of committing the crimes of which he is accused, I would not talk to him, I would not be friends with him, and I sure as hell wouldn't live with him or support him in any way. And I've known Stan and Lisa for almost 5 years now, and you know, went out and saw him speak, and we've kept in touch and gone camping. So yeah, again, I've known the Romanex for years. They're good people. There's, you know, no way in hell Stan is capable of supporting directly or indirectly those who would harm children.
Mm-hmm.
As for the activity in the house, I think to list and share everything that's happened in this home would take way too long. But mm-hmm. yes, it's safe to say that what they're experiencing is real. As you saw today, we've had an experience that, you know, it's undeniably paranormal.
Well, just sitting up at the table having a chat, and then all of a sudden there was a flash of light which Stan saw, and they've been having experiences where, you know, like Lisa spoke about a letter coming out of the printer. There's been other things like that, and all of a sudden it's like, just go and check the printer, and there's a letter basically saying, we got it somewhere too. What they say, we're listening. Yes, we are listening and watching you, Michael.
Well, okay, like, so to sum it up, let's sum up the last, I'd say, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes, that's been the recent thing, is the flashes of light. We got the longer letter first, followed by a shorter snippet that said, you know, yes, Stan, we've never left you. Another message later, basically making it very clear that they were listening in on a conversation between me and Stan about Lisa's book. They confirmed that they saw an opportunity, but same thing, flash of light. And then so I'm almost like a trained monkey at this point. And so when we saw the flash of light, I just knew. I went down into the basement. Sure enough, in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh, I hope there's another message. That would be cool. In the back of my mind, I'm going, please don't be another letter. This is creepy. I can't handle this. But it was exciting. Got a letter. And today's, they were very clearly listening to our conversation, whatever this is. And in short, the message said, yes, Michael, we are watching and listening.
Yeah.
Which is a comfort in a way, and a discomfort in others. But that's a tip of a very large iceberg of events that happened beginning 2 weeks after I moved in May of last year, 2014, excuse me.
So you've seen UFO, you've seen the shadow dudes walking around.
They like to tip over the chairs for some reason. That's their way, and it's the timing. The timing is impeccable. But I think the point here, though, is that I'm kind of a third-party witness, and I really wanted to take a moment to attest to not just the paranormal activity, but again, the timing, the messages, the break-ins. I personally witnessed Stan's computer being remotely controlled by God knows who. Whoever these people are very quick, efficient, professional, for lack of a better word. It was amazing. I repair computers for a living, and I would be hard-pressed to maneuver a computer and open files and do whatever this person was doing. So that's, I think, a key element that I've witnessed while being here. But, the strange sounds, like I said, it just goes on and on and on. We could do a whole episode mm-hmm. about just what I've witnessed in the last almost 13 months.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there anything before we wrap this up quickly that you would like to add? Just to, like, you've been with them, you've been hanging out with them, the family.
Yes.
You're basically saying everything's above board. This is just a load of crap. What has been put onto them, in terms of what they're trying to do to Stan, and you've witnessed the stuff going on here, basically.
Right. Right. Yeah. I guess the only thing I would add is that, you know, I've never had one reason to doubt their character, their integrity, their experiences. What's going on is real. I can't personally say it's ET. I haven't seen one of the little guys. I wish they'll come down and say hi. But it is real, and I would put my reputation on the line and say, the Romaneks are not one to make things up. They're not liars. I've seen it for myself. I don't have what I call the luxury of doubt anymore. It's comforting to doubt. It's easy to point fingers and ridicule. It's easy to say, oh, hoax or name calling. Because at the end of the day, it's I think a lot of these debunkers they're speaking from fear. And I can't blame them. If I hadn't seen some of this stuff for myself, I would probably point fingers too. It's easier to laugh than it is to swallow the pill and realize, hey, wow, there may be actually something going on here. And I can tell you firsthand, as you have seen, this is sometimes a daily occurrence, these types of events, and they've made it very clear they haven't left.
Just
this is not over. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick thing as well. you know them well. What was your... You knew something was up when Stan had done what he'd done on my show as well. And, like, you know him well. And you just knew that wasn't in his character to...
I knew something was awry. I didn't know what it was. I had some hunches, and, you know, I didn't want to ask when I, you know, they were nice enough to let me live with them, and I thought, it's eventually going to come to the surface. And, of course, Stan sat down with me, he said, if you want to know, I'll tell you. And I said, I will when you're ready. And, you know, I if I thought for one second that I could make all the kinds of things that they're going through go away with something as simple as just, I mean, Stan would love nothing more than for all of this to go away. I'm sure there are days where it's fun, it's exciting. For the most part, I would, especially the last year or so, has been very stressful. And just to get a taste of it, I can't imagine having gone through this for 15 years now. Mm-hmm. So I understand completely. Other than that, he's never given me, I've never seen any reason to doubt his credibility. I probably would have done the same thing. Probably would have been a little more clever about it.
They needed to be obvious, and that's what they wanted.
Yeah. I understand. Obvious, I understand that, yeah.
But you, this isn't your first, like, investigative anything, because you've been researching UFOs for a very long time, correct?
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, I've been researching UFOs on my own. I had a sudden interest in it. It kind of came out of nowhere, and 5 years after doing the kind of UFO 101 thing, I stumbled upon Stan's lecture, this 4 hour long YouTube video, photo after photo, video after video, and witness multiple, you know, witness experiences. So I already had a kind of a open mind about it, but something about his story was above and beyond anything I'd ever come across. I mean, made Betty and Barney Hill look like, still a very credible case. Mm. Doesn't touch the kind of evidence, the caliber of evidence in the Romanek's story. So there was a compulsion to come see this for myself. So after watching the YouTube video, I thought it'd be nice to come see this for myself. And, you know, I could go on and on and on about my first having met the Romanek's out here in Colorado, but we can save that for another episode.
Yeah. Is there anything else, like, anyone would like to bring to light while we got...
Do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Well, Michael, you and I have had conversations about, you know, some of the very, very big cases or whatever, like Dr. Jonathan Reed, how so many people believe that even he has faked so much.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they do. They being the powers that be, not the extraterrestrials. But in the debunking end of it, those who have the most credible evidence are the ones that they attack and discredit so thoroughly. They suffer worse.
Yeah, yes. I think the Dr. Reed case is a great example. You know, the caliber of evidence, the caliber of his character,
mm-hmm.
being a doctor. And you watch the guy speak and you can just see he's an upstanding guy. I say, you know, try to punch a hole in it. Yes, it's difficult to believe that these things could actually happen, but you're right. The people with the highest caliber, even the UFO community, unfortunately, is probably one of the first to shun. They want the smoking gun, they get it in their hands, and all they want to do is shoot you with it. It doesn't make any sense. But again, that I think from experience, that comes back to fear.
Yeah.
I think even amongst the UFO research community, there is fear, and there's jealousy. We're human beings, and at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of factors at play. So it's no wonder that somebody like Stan and Lisa have suffered so much. Is because it is real. It is high caliber smoking gun quality case.
Stan didn't fuck up. He did what he did out of protecting people, and he didn't want these 13 years, or nearly 15 years now, of stuff to go to waste. I think it takes balls and courage to come forward and say what he has said in terms of why he's done what he's done. And at the end of the day, he did it for a reason. He didn't do it just to do it, or, you know, to make up an event. He did it to protect people. So, in my opinion, Stan didn't fuck up. It takes a lot of balls and courage to come forward. And I think those who know you and those who have been looking on the case, and just those in general that are interested in this, they will see that it's taken a lot of courage for you to come forward and say what you've said. I know it's been, you know, you said it's basically the hardest thing you've ever had to do, and you've had to live with that guilt, and I can't imagine what it's like living with that guilt, knowing that you had to have done that, but I don't think it's too bad in the sense that you did it for the right reasons, mate, and people at home can make of this what they want, so I just wanted to add that in.
Thank you for your support, and thank you guys for your understanding, and for our supporters out there, thank you so much for supporting us through these hard times, and we love you guys, and God bless you all.
It is completely black. So it's two of them, one hit.
There was another one that flew over just before.
So yeah,
welcome to our house.
So that's three in what? Probably 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, that's four.
Four now, is it?
15 minutes. Yeah, they're circling around because they went that way the first time. Now they're going that way.